Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But Dennis highlights the problem perfectly when he says, and I quote, "Do you guys think it's just me? 85% minimum of people involved in MLB think the way I do."
That's exactly why we're where we're at.
That's exactly the problem. 85% of people in baseball think that way, and 90% of the rest of the world doesn't care.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
And if you look at the stadium attendance numbers, you can see a tangible effect. They are down. Numbers are down.
Yes.
Viewing habits are down.
It's documented.
The NFL has the top 10 programs all year, every year. Literally, if you look at all their different time slots, they're in the top 10. Baseball couldn't even eclipse the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Credit to a 925 texter. We missed this, obviously. Mantle was so big because he had a big Instagram following, you idiots.
Oh, that's right. That's actually funny. Very brilliant.
Mantle was big. Actually, Mickey Mantle would be, how to put this? Klay Thompson-esque.
Yes.
When it comes to Instagram.
Yes, he
would. So that's a good call by the 925.
Have you ever heard Damon Bruce's statement on baseball?
Ooh.
Damon
yes,
Bruce.
Yes, I have.
Okay. So, and I think it's so spot on. Baseball is the only sport where its past means more than its future.
Yeah. Yeah. And anytime, and this is not just sports. Anytime you value the past more than the future, you're headed for a bad situation. That's all. And again, if maybe it's not a bad situation, maybe you prefer to be a fan of a niche sport. And if you want baseball to become a niche sport, then great. It's headed that way. Stay on course. Stick with the same rules. Avoid robot umpires like the plague. All that. That's fine. But understand you're going to be a niche sport. And again, I don't want the angry texts in 10 years when we're not talking about you.
And people are saying, oh, the attendance is down in every sport. Not in soccer. Check the MLS. It's way, 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 way up. It's become a drink-a-thon. They have giant beer gardens, and it is the place to be for a lot of the young people. Look, I get it. It's cyclical. It comes and goes in waves. I understand that. And AT&T Park, it draws so many, 3.5 million fans a year. That's brilliant.
That's
but
right.
There's not enough of those types of draws in baseball, and there's not enough national recognition. There's Yankees, Sox, and everybody else, and the Cubs. I will say the Cubs draw really well. I went to a game this week. Cub fans were everywhere. But you don't see that emotion evoked.
Not
like when you bring up LeBron.
It's not the same.
Or Tom Brady.
That's right. That's right. And to your point earlier about, I hate to use just your wife and mother because I know those are your personal examples that are true, but men as well. They don't know who baseball players are. The casual fan, the Q rating of baseball players is problematic. To have a successful sport, look at how the NBA is thriving right now because it has focused on promoting players, and those players have embraced that and helped drum up interest and doing silly things, you know, that create attention. Kevin Durant's in Instagram comments still. And by the way, mostly baseball today, but if anyone wants to find me on the street, I'm happy to give you 5 minutes on why Kevin Durant should get in as many Instagram comments as he wants and live his life the way he feels like it. And I have seen nothing to indicate that his fury at random teenagers degrades his basketball in any way. If anything, I think it fires him up. Back to baseball, though. Mo from the 510, nostalgia is a sign of a declining civilization.
I love that. And no, I don't think Damon Bruce came up with that statement, but I think it's a good statement, and I like to regurgitate it. Who cares where it came from? I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's something Damon said one time, and we just want to give him credit for bringing it to our attention.
And again, I absolutely love baseball. I watch every pitch, essentially, of Giants baseball that I possibly can. I am tweeting about it. I'm watching it. I'm texting my friends. I'm getting phone calls from my family. But there aren't enough of me types, my viewing types out there for people to really gravitate to it nationally.
We just got a text that says, I gave Mike Trout and Garrett Richards an Uber ride on opening day, and I didn't know who they were even after they told me their names.
Wow.
Now, that may be a joke, but nevertheless, Mike Trout, most baseball fans will know, but very few casual sports fans. Garrett Richards, most baseball fans won't know.
No.
And that's a pretty good baseball player.
Did you see that article that was written about top most recognizable faces across sports?
No.
Basically, they had 50 to 100 different people. Baseball, not one baseball player was on the list.
There you
not
go.
One. In all of sports worldwide, not one baseball player was even on the list. Now, if this was 1999, Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs, Barry Bonds. I mean, you could go Mark McGwire. You can go right down the list. Go back to the 99 All-Star game. Okay. We're going to have the All-Star game this week. Go back to the 1999 All-Star game in Boston where Ted Williams came out. One of the heroes of sports, one of the heroes of America, fought in World War II as a fighter pilot. There were stars at every single position with Pedro Martinez at the apex of his powers pitching. You could name even a casual baseball fan could name every player on both sides of the diamond. This year, I don't think half the people even know who some of these guys are.
Yeah, and to the texter who said the casual fan wouldn't recognize players in any sport, you're just wrong. The casual fan knows who LeBron James is. A casual sports fan knows who Tom Brady is.
Exactly.
Knows who Aaron Rodgers is, probably. There are 2 to 5 players in the major sports, historically speaking, that are recognizable to my mother, who doesn't care at all. And that's... I know baseball fans are like, well, what do I care if your mother recognizes Mike Trout? And again, if you want to root for a niche sport, then fine. My mom doesn't need to know who any of the guys in the league are, but she knew who Barry Bonds was.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think there is a reason that this area has caught Warrior fever. Like, not only is the game of basketball more quote unquote exciting in terms of the pace of play, but the recognition of the names and the faces and the way they're marketed, and you're watching television and you got Kevin Durant on YouTube commercials and Steph Curry's playing golf and doing all this. Like, the way the NBA has marketed itself is absolutely brilliant. And is there a segment of people that don't like the NBA? Of course there is.
Yeah.
Of course there is. All I'm saying is that nationally, it is a proven formula. Baseball does not market its own stars. That's all. It's a realistic assessment. And I wish they did a better job because I love the game.
650 texter said, it's not just baseball. I work with the early 20-somethings and they have to Google who won the Civil War. I agree that our society is falling apart, but that's really a conversation for a different radio station. Our problem is more of a baseball problem. And again, people are bringing up great points about the name and face recognition stuff. A 510 texter saying, and this is relevant because he's playing baseball now, although not at the major league level, Tim Tebow is more recognizable than Mike Trout.
Sad.
By the way,
so sad.
They look kind of shockingly similar. Have you ever noticed that?
They both look like war heroes.
First of all, they both don't have a neck. And second of all, they kind of do look similar, but that's true. A guy who, now granted, one of the great college football players,
mm-hmm.
however, washed out of the NFL in a year and a half or something like that, and has been playing minor league for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and he really is more nationally recognizable than Mike Trout. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah. The thing about, like, where you get the casual fans, right? Everybody plays fantasy football now. Even if you're not even a diehard football fan, you play fantasy football. And I know they wear helmets and whatnot, but you know all the players because you see the picture of their face as switching your lineup and doing it. My wife knows who Big Ben is. She knows who Antonio Brown is because she plays fantasy football.
That's true. And fantasy baseball is way too big a buy-in for a casual observer.
Exactly. But the element I would love to see the MLB channel just try to incorporate a couple times a week, do something like the Red Zone. And I know they spin around and watch different games.
The rundown.
But they need to do it quicker. It needs to be a quicker pace. They need to bounce around. I need to see better at-bats. Like, how does the MLB Network not have Mike Trout versus, you know, Verlander on MLB Network? Hey, you got to watch this now. Breaking news.
Like they used to jump into Bonds at-bats on ESPN?
Yes, with Pedro Gomez.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
On Barry's front yard.
Yeah, they need to do some form of the red zone to draw in the fringe people, because that's how your sport really blows up. It's the fringe people. That's why the Super Bowl is such a big thing, because non-football fans are still going to gather and go and watch it because it's a party. The World Series isn't like that. It's a different dynamic because it's over seven games.
Yeah, 408 Texter makes a great point. Locally, the Giants are really good about getting the casual fan, and that's true.
Oh, brilliant.
The league could learn from the Giants. Sell more panda hats.
I heard an argument when, what's the guy who's now the Rob Manfred was going to become commissioner. Larry Bear should have
been a great commissioner.
He would have been, because the guy knows how to market. It's gimmicky. I hate the panda hats and all that stuff.
The diehards don't like the stuff, and this goes for every sport.
Yes.
Diehards don't like the stuff that gets you the people you need to succeed. But the fact is, to succeed as a sport, on the level that sports operate now, of hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, you have to draw people who don't especially care.
You got to read that text.
510, I've been to every home game this season. I sit directly above center field in the treehouse, and I still wouldn't recognize Canna, Fowler, or Smolinski on the street.
It's incredible. And someone's saying, oh, it's called Quick Pitch. Yes, I've watched Quick Pitch. And it's still, there's nothing quick about that. There's absolutely nothing quick about that.
And that doesn't mean that your local, it doesn't mean Kruk and Kipe are going to start playing weird sounders and like doing dances on the broadcast. They'll still sit back, relax, and have a good old time. And I love Kruk and Kipe. And again,
they're bigger.
Joe and I still watch baseball. We still love this sport. We're frustrated by things in it.
Yeah.
But more than anything, we're frustrated that it's heading down a path to irrelevance.
Which sucks, because it's a big part of my life. I love playing. I love coaching. I love watching. I love talking baseball.
Yeah.
And in my day, that's all we would do is talk baseball. Like, and look, are there things I hate about the NBA and the NFL? Of course.
By the way, when we were talking about the stickball game and going through the whole lineup of stances,
yeah,
I got a series of texts from my father.
Yeah.
You should see my Jesus Alou. I have a great Marichal high kick, a Tiant head turn. I also do Rick Barry foul shots.
Hey, my dad would be complaining to the high school coach over at Reardon when some of our guys couldn't shoot 50%. They need to be doing the Rick Barry underhand shot. He used to say that all the time.
Yeah. Rick Barry was my father's favorite player when he was a youth. Perhaps because he also is named Rick and was a white shooter.
And you know what? The thing is that if you look at like Giants baseball, for example, before they went on their World Series run, you could make an argument in 09, 10, the most popular Giants entities were Kruk and Kipe, were the broadcast team. That's not right.
Right.
That's not good. And I know Lincecum was doing his thing, but who was more valuable to the franchise at that particular point in time? Was it the guys drawing people in to be in their living room every single night for 162 days? Those guys were as big of the Giant experience as going to the games, as the hitters, Pedro Feliz or whomever was in the lineup at the particular time.
Pedro Feliz, Pete Happy. I miss Pete Happy. I was a big Pete Happy fan.
Who wasn't? The guy played every position on the diamond.
Interesting question written in a rundown by producer Nick. He wrote this. The Giants are a veteran team. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage as we head down the stretch? We'll try to answer that next. Polsky and Chasky on 95.7 The Game.
It's that baby alligator.
I will say that the 95.7 The Game board op crew has learned Joe Shasky's taste.
Early 90s Bay Area hip hop. Mac Mall, Baby Alligator. With the red cover.
Noted. Right. We'll see y'all soon.
All right. So Nick wrote down this question that I find particularly interesting, because this is sort of the crux of the Giants franchise as a whole. How we think about the Giants, whether what they're doing makes any sense, the bigger picture, what they're doing. I mean, you know, day to day, they're trying to win ball games, and that's fine. They're in the playoff hunt. But broadly speaking, being as veteran a team as they are, making the moves they made in this offseason to become more veteran instead of younger, here's the question Nick wrote down. The Giants are a veteran team. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage down the stretch? Because on one hand, a lot of guys with World Series experience, a lot of guys who know high leverage situations and have succeeded in them before. On the other hand, a lot of 30-plus players. A lot of guys with a lot of mileage on the tires. Buster Posey's been in the squat for God knows how long. Are you worried about this team holding up? I mean, now that they're actually playing pretty well, are you worried about the Giants holding up for the stretch run?
Certain players, yes, and other players, no.
Aren't you right on the razor's edge? Yeah. Don't you need everybody?
No. Like, Samardzija, I don't need.
Okay,
Samardzija specifically, I don't want to see him. He needs to be DL'd. He needs to just, whatever they got to do to wink, wink, nod, nod, get him out of the way. Look, Melanson you signed for $62 million. He's not even your closer right now. All right? The precedent has been set. When Aaron Rowan was struggling, you ripped him out of center field. All right? So if you overpay for someone, you don't necessarily have to continue to force the triangle into the circle peg. Smart is not a starter anymore. He's got a 6.05 ERA. He's 1-5. He's given me 10 starts.
And his shoulder hurts after four innings every time.
Oh,
I mean, it's not working.
They're saying, oh, he didn't warm up right. I mean, get out of here, dude. Like, it's just ridiculous.
I bought that in spring training.
Yeah.
We're almost 100 games in now.
Yeah, and he's pitched 40 innings.
That's right.
Like, he's not even going to clip the 200-inning
right.
eater.
And that was the one thing he did.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. So, guys like him, you know, and even Posey, because he is dinged up with that hip. I am worried about making it to the long, through the dog days of August and summer. But a lot of the young guys that they are playing now, Duggar, Hanson, Gorkys, who's somewhat younger, if you will, I'm not worried about. And then there's obviously, you know, Brandon Belt. He got hit on the wrist the other night. He has an injury history. He's having a great year. This could be his best overall season ever for this guy. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for that career year. Can he avoid the debilitating injury?
And can Brandon Crawford avoid the debilitating slump that always brings his batting average down to around 260 every year?
Which I hate to say it, he's slowly starting to creep back down toward.
Yeah, people are still scared of him, though. They walked him last night.
Yeah, they pitched around him, and that was a great at-bat. You know, there's just, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on the Giants right now. I really am. I think, I don't even know how to assess this team because I could see them and make an argument for them winning 7 of the next 10. And I could also make that same argument for them losing 7 out of the next 10 or splitting and going 5-5. They feel like a 500 club.
Interesting you say that. I don't think I disagree. But does that view of the team affect how you want them to behave at the trade deadline?
No, I still want them to be aggressive. You showed in the offseason heading into this year that you were going to be aggressive and you're going to go all in.
And what other option do you have now?
I don't know. And I'm hearing, oh, you know, Longoria's 7 to 10 days away. Okay, I guess, you know, but it's, I don't know. I kind of want to see Pablo continue to play third base. Defensively, he's giving it to me. I know he lined a couple balls out yesterday, but he's barreling up the ball. He's having good at-bats. Like, they're not horrible at-bats. He's not swinging at the first pitch.
Yesterday wasn't even supposed to play, right?
Yeah, and he looked really good. And so, I don't know. There's a lot up in the air. Are you going to continue to play Duggar, or are you going to yo-yo this young player? Like, he's clearly needs to play, and I want to see what he can bring and how he can infuse this lineup early and often into every single game. His dynamic speed, coupled with Alan Hansen's explosive speed, is something that we haven't seen in a Giants team in my lifetime. I haven't seen multiple guys who can run the bases the way he can ever in my lifetime watching the Giants. So I don't know what to make of them. And like, you know, is Gorky's going to continue this hot season that he's had? I don't know if I can necessarily bank on him batting 275 and hitting another 11 jacks in the second half. I feel like he's maxed out.
Okay, but he's playing until he really slips, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
He's in there.
No doubt.
The Duggar thing, and let's get to the Duggar thing.
Yeah, let's dig in.
Because, I mean, look, we don't know what Steven Duggar is. It's important we say that at the front of this conversation.
He's Grady Sizemore.
Right. That'd be great. I thought Grady Sizemore was a wonderful player for that 2-year period.
Oh, who didn't?
But we don't know. We don't know. And so, yes, some of what we're saying is speculative. But the fact of the matter is, we know what the other options were. We watched the other options. We even watched Gregor Blanco hit 300 for the first month. And what good did that do anybody?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, Duggar has only been here for 25 at-bats, but he's 8 for 25.
Batting 320.
He's got four RBIs and six runs scored in 25 at-bats.
Five doubles.
Like, and again, we saw it in spring training. They saw it last year in the minors. They saw it. You didn't need 76 more games in the minors this year. You just didn't need it.
I was hearing an argument on my Twitter feed that he just wasn't ready. Because 75 days ago, he would have been so mentally fragile, he wouldn't have been able to bat 180, which was what Austin Jackson was batting, for $6 million over 2 years. He was so mentally fragile that if he slipped up a little, he wouldn't have been able to contribute ever again. Like, get out of here with that narrative. I hate that narrative.
And that is the narrative the Giants have pushed to keep Gary Brown in the minor leagues. And again, I'm not saying I think, handled differently, Gary Brown is an all-star. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we never even saw the guy. No one ever even saw the guy.
When you invest a first-round pick, you should at least see him play a little.
That's right. That's right. And Duggar was a .261 hitter in the PCL last season, 2017. He's a .272 hitter this year. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
It's probably, you know, two hits different over an equal number of at-bats. And the fact of the matter is, you know how you find out if a guy's ready? Promote him.
Yeah, agreed. You know, Matt, I want to dig in on this one particular thing. Giants fans, media, the team covering them, everybody. We're obsessed with the power numbers, right? Well, the Giants can't find power hitters, blah, 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 blah. Me and my boys have always said, yes, do you need home runs? Of course. But there is another way to have an explosive offense at AT&T, and it's hitting gap ball
speed.
With speed.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you have aging, you know, center fielder year after year, the Kenny Lofton, Marquise Grissom, Steve Finley, you know, Dave Roberts, when you hit a ball into the gap, you're only going to go to first, okay? Because you're 38, 39, 40 years old.
Who was it last night who had the 3 foot away from homer single? Was it Pinder?
Yeah. Exactly.
Love that play at AT&T. Just crushed it off the front of the big wall.
Yeah.
McCutchen catches it on one bounce.
But like we saw in the All-Star game in 07 when Ichiro came here, this is why we all wanted an Ichiro type. He hits a ball off the wall. It takes a funky bounce. Solo home run. You know, inside the Parker. Easy. Duggar early on in his career. And Alan Hansen's done the same thing. Stretching out singles into doubles, putting himself into scoring position on a team that can't get big hits is absolutely huge. We saw Hansen just a couple nights ago go from first to home. It was a little league play. The ball was thrown down the line, but we are scraping for runs. We're the exact opposite. We're the 180-degree difference of the Oakland A's who hit the long ball, okay?
Yeah.
So if you're not going to hit the long ball, give me a bunch of athletic, fast guys who can go first to third and are instinctual base runners taking that extra bag. Like, it's just, this is how this team should have been built.
And as good as their homegrown infield is, not a one of them is that guy you just described.
No. And Panic, I would say, when healthy, is the fastest
the closest,
of the regular.
But not a speed guy.
No. But a smart, instinctual base runner.
Really good base runner. Belt's a really good base runner.
He is so slow.
He's not fast.
He's so slow. He's been thrown out at home so many times. I mean, you almost need 3 hits to get him home from second.
Yeah. It's a joke. Yeah. He tries, though. He knows where to be. I give Brandon Belt some credit for the way he runs the bases, because given his speed, he should not be as good as he is.
No. But again, this is why
Yes. It's a team built in a strange way for where it plays and the style it plays in.
Exactly. And that's why, and the other part about this, I kind of like Duggar in center, Gorky's in left. Duggar reminds me of Steve Finley. He's got a lot of Steve Finley traits.
He's got those long strides. He's a long stride runner. That play he made running into the gap last night.
Great play.
It's one of those plays that I think the casual baseball fan is like, all right, so he ran and caught it.
But the degree of difficulty.
To track that and catch it on the run the way he did, that's a really tough play, and he made it look easy.
And he's got a plus arm. When was the last time a Giant center fielder had a plus arm? We watched Denard
Span. Think about the names you just said. Lofton, Denard Span.
Denard Span, literally a Tyrannosaurus Rex, could throw a ball farther. He had a noodle arm.
The only guy they're missing is Coco Crisp.
I'm waiting for Ken Dorsey to play center field for this team. That's what I'm waiting for. That's how bad it is.
Juan Pierre on deck.
Yeah, hey, at least Juan Pierre got on base. You know what I mean?
Boy, he was fun to watch.
He was so much fun. But when you got Gorky's in left, Duggar in center field, that gives me a great defensive outfield.
And McCutchen has... Kruk and Kipe were talking about this last night. McCutchen has really picked up right field.
He has, which is it's probably the most difficult right field outside of San Diego and a couple others with
funky fences,
mm-hmm. you know what I mean, going down the line. I would say Boston.
Boston's a little weird.
It cuts off.
And because the wall's like 2 feet tall. That always made me...
Very weird. Yeah. But it's very difficult to play right field in our ballpark.
No doubt.
And you have to shade over to Triple's Alley. So having a solid defensive lineup, that was the recipe for 2014 and 2012 winning championships, because Blanco stepped in for Melky Cabrera, after the suspension, and he also played in 2014. Him and what was the other guy, number two, who misplayed the ball out there in game seven, the ninth inning. I can't remember his name. I want to say Emmanuel Burris, but that was the shortstop.
Manny!
Yeah, we've had so many bad outfielders.
It wasn't Marvin Bernard.
No. Anyway, regardless, defensive
mind.
Don't bring up the worst DH in Giants history. If Andres Galarragos wasn't having cancer in 2002 treatment, he would have been the DH, and it wouldn't have been Shinjo. We would have won that series.
The Big Cat.
The Big Cat.
I was a big Galarraga fan.
But how do you not assess that Duggar is on his way up and give Austin Jackson a 2-year deal?
Right. And internal scouting has been a consistent issue.
Big time.
So to me, and we've sort of addressed this before, to me, there's symptoms and there's root causes, right? Juan Cruz.
Thank you, Texter. I was trying to think who that was.
There are symptoms and then there's the disease, right?
Yeah.
Duggar is a symptom. To me, the Jeff Samardzija situation is a different, generally unrelated symptom of the same disease. Follow me here. They were more comfortable re-embracing Gregor Blanco, who they knew to be a mediocre outfielder, than giving a try to the young kid who showed a ton of promise in spring. They're more comfortable giving the ball to Jeff Samardzija, despite the fact that he's barely been able to pitch this year, despite the fact that his shoulder is clearly messed up, despite the fact that when he has been on the mound, he's been terrible this year. They're more comfortable giving it back to that guy, who had a 5.5 ERA last year in his 200 innings, than they are letting someone like Derek Rodriguez continue to roll, than they are giving Andy Suarez the ball again. And that, to me, it's shenanigans.
It's malpractice and negligence.
Yeah, because we know what Jeff Samardzija is right now. And you're not going anywhere with that guy. So give me the young guys. And yeah, maybe some of them fall on their face. That's what happens sometimes. But if they can't do it, it wasn't happening anyway.
Doubt.
So to me, and it's the same thing with Duggar. If your system was in a place where you were going to have Blanco and Hernandez on the roster all year, that team's a loser. Sorry.
You're right.
It is.
You're so right.
So why bother? Maybe if you put Duggar on the team at the beginning of the year, maybe he does hit 200 for the first month. But maybe he ends up at 270 on the year, and then you had a center fielder playing plus defense who hit 270 on the year, and you got your center fielder of the future ready to go.
You're nailing it. And here's the other little tiny detail that continues to get brought up, Matt. The luxury tax. Who is more expensive? Austin Jackson on a 2-year, $6 million deal?
That's right.
Gregor Blanco making, at his age,
the veteran minimum, is much more than Duggar makes.
Or Duggar. Exactly. And so, all of the pluses, the pros and cons when we weigh them out, athleticism, plus arm, range, defensive glove, yes, speed on the base pass. Like, Duggar checks all the boxes. If he struggles a little at the plate, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Even Willie Mays came up, went back down,
right,
and then came back up again. Okay, that's fine. Let the guy play for 2 or 3 weeks. If it doesn't work out, yeah, then you could send him back. When you yo-yo a guy and you only give him a handful of opportunities, that's what happened with Nate Sheerholtz, Mack Williamson, Jarrett Parker.
Austin Slater.
Like, all of these guys. Austin Slater's another great example. I need Austin Slater to get 15 at-bats a week. Find a way to make it happen, Giants. Like, I don't need to see Hunter Pence at bats anymore. You know what Hunter should be? He should be the king of the promo videos like he cut with Derek Holland when they were making that stupid all-star ballot belt thing. It was hilarious and funny, and it was his biggest contribution of the year. But he hasn't done anything on the field.
Hunter Pence, who is one of my favorite baseball players ever, a guy who I've met and is as delightful in person as he is on your television, would make a great assistant hitting coach right now.
To teach that quirky stance
I'm
of his.
I'm just saying.
No, I know.
Put him in a managing uniform.
Well, he could be the guy who picks up baseballs.
He can do whatever he wants. He's earned it. Yeah. He's earned the right to do whatever ridiculous thing he wants to do. Give him a lifetime contract with the franchise, as far as I'm concerned. Don't have it be to play, because that's one thing he's not capable of at this point.
No.
Now, again, I love Hunter Pence. It'd be great if he could recapture something, find a way to continue his career. I'm all for that. It's not happening right now.
And if I'm looking at the way the team is constructed, look at how the A's, look who they have on their bench. Let's say Fowler's playing center field. Now you have Mark Canha coming in off the bench.
Pinder,
that's what I'm saying.
You got all guys who are younger than what the Giants would bring in and
can go yard.
Live or bats.
Yeah, and so like if Hunter Pence steps up in a late game situation, what's he going to do? Dribble one to the shortstop and hope he beats it out?
Which he doesn't do anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at least give me some options off the bench that can put the ball over the fence. And that's where it's like, what are we doing with this roster makeup?
Look how valuable, as silly as it is, Pablo Sandoval's been to you. You need more guys on your bench like that can contribute. Look how valuable Alan Hansen has been.
Yes.
And some of that's been due to injury, but even with the infield healthy, Alan Hansen as a super utility is ultra valuable.
Wouldn't you rather see what Chris Shaw has?
Absolutely.
This kid in AAA who can play first in outfield, who's getting comparisons physically to Mark Teixeira. I know he's a little older and he's not the prospect Teixeira was.
He's not Mark Teixeira.
No, I'm not saying, but he looks like
him. He's big and strong and plays first base in outfield.
And he's young.
Yeah.
Yeah, and under team control. On a cheap contract. Like, I don't get what this obsession with veterans who don't have anything left in the tank is.
And here's the other thing about the Chris Shaws of the world is if you are interested in making a move at the deadline, that's what you got.
Exactly.
So put them on display a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, that could go bad for you as well. I recognize that. But This Giants life of putting the prospect off another year and another year and another year, it doesn't just slow the development of the prospects. It hurts the team dramatically, and it gives you this thing that the Giants have had probably since Belt and Crawford came up, where every guy they bring up is already 27.
Exactly. And you heard Bumgarner this week bring it up. Man, it's really nice to have these rookies around. You know, because that gives you a diversified clubhouse and it gives you different chemistry. I always tell the people around here, like, I'm older than a lot of the producers here. They keep me young. They give me new, fresh ideas. They tell me what's hip and what's in style. And that makes me feel
I mean, they're still playing hip-hop music from the 90s, but otherwise that's pretty true.
That's by mandate. but like, and then here's another thing on the text line. Jesus. They say, oh, this guy keeps saying me, as in me, saying we. There are so many different people who are on the radio covering this team that are quote-unquote traditional journalists who are going to be as neutral as possible. That's not what I am. I'm a diehard fan. And the reason I say we is because I will be a Giants fan, a Niner fan, a Warrior fan my whole life. Players can come and go, but I'm going to support the team the entire way. So heck yeah, I'm going to say we, because I've been here since the beginning and I will be here till the end. So I will always say we.
I've never understood the whining about we. Oh, what? You play on the team? No. So?
Exactly. I'm not Brian Windhorst. I'm not Stephen A. Smith over here.
That's right. You should, well, Stephen A. Smith isn't Stephen A. Smith, if you know what I mean. But you very clearly are not a journalist. No offense.
No. And I don't ever want to pretend to be. Like, they gave me media credentials. This is my favorite. Could you imagine me showing up in my CD shirt, my Giants, come on, let's go, Belt.
Maybe you could go to a Sharks game with media credentials. Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe. I think maybe you could behave yourself at a Sharks game. There's no way, Giants or Niners, there's no way you can go with a press pass.
And I don't even want to. I don't even want to be in there. Right. I want to be able to root and scream and yell and boo. Like, that's the whole point of going to the game. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. I find it interesting. And A's fans have to feel the same way. With the revolving door of players that have come and gone through that organization, what's the one constant variable? The fans. the fans. You are a part of the organization, whether it's spiritually, you know, emotionally, however you want to make the connection, but you're a part of it.
Yeah, I see nothing wrong with weeing your favorite sports teams.
I hate when people rip me
back. Well, look, here's the thing. I don't think Joe saying we is going to actually confuse anybody.
Yeah.
Like that thing of, oh, you're on the team now? No.
No.
Did you really think I was?
Yeah.
When I said we, did it confuse you?
I'm on the 40 man. You didn't know?
Like, it's pretty clear that when I say we signed Jabari Parker today, I'm not a member of the Chicago Bulls. No one's confused about that.
No.
There's no debate. There's I'm not misleading anyone. Okay? No, I'm not on the team. I've been rooting for them since I was 5 years old, and that gives me a sense of belonging.
Exactly.
That's what fandom is.
It's my gang.
Yeah, right. And so it's like people are telling you, well, love your gang, but you're not actually in it. It's like, yeah, I know. I mean, I know I'm never going to play for the Chicago Bulls. You're well aware of the fact that you're never suiting up for one of the 162. It's not happening.
No.
But you love the team, and you've rooted for them your whole life, so why not?
Exactly, man. Exactly. Especially in the day of player movement. They're going to come and go. We stay the
same.
We're
rooting for laundry. If we can't,
Jerry Seinfeld?
If we can't call it our laundry, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I know. Hey, you're preaching to the choir. I want to know today, though, A's fans, Giants fans, how's today going to shake itself out?
Oh, prediction time?
Manaea versus Suarez. This is an important matchup for both
teams.
A couple
of young lefties going at it.
Yeah, and both teams need this win.
That's true.
Both teams really need this win heading into this big break. You got the All-Star game coming up, and I think a win and a series win, especially when you guys both play each other coming out of the break, I think it would mean a lot for both franchises.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear once again not just what people want at the trade deadline, because I actually think both teams probably want starting pitching. I'm not sure either team has much of anywhere else to put someone. I guess the Giants could be in the market for a closer. That's going to be tough, though. So I think both teams will be looking for starting pitching. The question is, what will either team give up?
It's a really good question.
So Giants fans, A's fans, what are you willing to part with from your team, or what do you think you can use from your franchise to get that starting pitcher you want? 888-957-9570 is the phone number. PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. We'll talk to Alex Pavlovich in about 40 minutes, but you next. It's the Ski Team on 95.7 The Game. We are back. Matt Kolsky, Joe Shasky, 95.7 The Game. World Cup final drawing to a close. Looks like France going to hold on and win the World Cup. When's the last time I feel like France has won in my lifetime? Maybe early 2000s?
They've won no wars.
They're still on that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe you should give us the World Cup trophy since we had to belly out of World War II, am I right? Yes. San Francisco Giants and Oakland Athletics back at it today, wrapping up the first of 2 3-game series that bookend the All-Star break. And it should be a good one tonight. Sean Manaea, Andy Suarez.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Suarez and Manaea. Manaea, like I had brought up a couple of different times, is on pace for 16 wins, which would be very big. He had a good year last year, you know, solid 12 wins, but it would be a big boost, not only for his confidence, but for the organization to have a homegrown guy get, you know, over 15 wins. It's the first time in a long time. I think Bartolo Colon's the last guy to go over 16. That was 5 years ago.
It's so crazy to me that Bartolo Colon won that many games as an Athletic 5 years ago.
And he's still pitching.
He's still pitching. And by the way, we do that thing where we talk about guys changing their game, adapting to their age. And Bartolo's so old, I don't think people remember what he was like in Cleveland back in the day. But he was a fireballer. He was a hard thrower. And to transition to a point where he's pitching at age 45, moving it around the strike zone, using what guile he has. Now, granted, his ERA is 4.6, but still, good for you, Bartolo.
Definitely.
And he seems like a fun guy.
I root for any pudgy dudes in sports. Okay, period.
As do I, for obvious reasons.
Exactly.
510 texter. The only true solid bullpen guys are TNT, Trevino, and Trinan. Maybe if Andrew Triggs is healthy, he can be a long-term reliever. But the main thing this texter's saying is, I'd like to see John Fisher willing to spend a little more to help the team get a few solid rental starters or solid relievers. Yeah, we'd all like to see John Fisher spend more. It would improve baseball in the Bay Area. I'm not sure there's any reason to believe that spending patterns will change before there's at least a formalized agreement on a stadium, and probably until ground is broken. That being said, there's a difference between willing to spend and willing to spend more than $63 million, which is the lowest payroll in baseball. So the A's are so far down the payroll ladder at this point that they can add anything and they still won't be spending much. They can literally add any player in baseball and they'll still have one of the lowest five or six payrolls in the league.
I'm curious if that, I mean, I know they've always had a low payroll, but how much this quote unquote revenue sharing welfare check that they've been receiving, like how much that is dictating how much or how little they spend. Like that check going away, how does that really hamper them doing business moving forward? Because that to
or
me is fascinating.
Does it change how they do business?
That's what I'm saying.
A lot of times they've just been putting that check right in the pocket. If they were spending that check every year, it'd be a different conversation, but they weren't. So, and others weren't either. That's why the checks are getting taken away. Right? Don't do this. That's the problem. They're doing it wrong. We were giving you money so you could compete despite not drawing as many fans as the Yankees, despite not selling as many hats as the Yankees. We wanted you to be able to compete. If you just take the money we're giving you to compete and pocket it, that's really defeating the purpose.
It's crazy.
It's bad. It's really bad business. We asked people before the break, and I'm still interested. 888-957-9570 is our phone number. PenskeAutoSales.com text line is 95795. Obviously, both of these baseball teams are in the playoff race as it stands today. I think both of these teams could probably use additional starting pitching. You can make an argument they could each use a little bit of bullpen help, but they both at least have a couple of guys out there they can really count on. And they, both of these baseball teams in the Bay Area right now have lineups that, while you could certainly upgrade positions, your problem now is more that you have too many guys for the positions that are open versus not enough guys. So I don't necessarily think either team needs a position player, but both of them could use a starting pitcher, certainly because of all the injuries. But even without the injuries, both teams could probably use a more reliable starter, add another reliable starter to the rotation. So I think we can mostly agree on that part. What I'm just not sure how to answer is, what would you give up? If you're the A's, if you're the Giants, they're different types of questions. If you're the A's, the question is, which of the prospects you spent all this time collecting are you willing to part with? And if you're the Giants, it's, how do you put together a package that's intriguing to anyone? Does it involve prospects? Do you have to move off a veteran player? How would that even work? If you have a thought, 888-957-9570. You can also hit the PenskeAutoSales.com text line at 95795.
Speaking of payroll, Matty, I'm looking here at the A's payroll for this particular year. We know Hunter Pence makes for the Giants $18.5 million this year.
Whew.
For just a little more, a couple million more, the A's, this combination is the getting paid the most for the A's.
God.
Chris Davis, Jonathan Lucroy, and Jed Lowry. Think of that value.
All three.
For just Hunter Pence's
contract?
For just a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's incredible value.
And we got a couple nuggets from Julian McWilliams. One of them was that Chris Davis is talking about a contract extension right now.
Which really surprised me.
Me too. But again, I this is wishful thinking. I'm acknowledging it's wishful thinking, but I'm telling you, I really think now's the time for A's fans to start to get attached. I really think at least a handful of these guys are going to be around. And now look, no baseball team keeps everyone around all the time. And frankly, the number of prospects the A's have is untenable. Like eventually some of those will be traded for proven players. But if we're just going, I mean, look, these guys, a lot of them are already under team control through 2022 or 23, some through 2024. And if you can lock down a Chris Davis, who, as we keep saying, doesn't have the national profile he should, if you can get him relatively affordably, 40 home runs a year out of the DH spot, great. Extend him a little bit. I think this was his last arbitration year. He may have one more technically. So buy out a couple extra years. How much would you pay Chris Davis?
He's making $10.5 million right now.
Would you give him 15 a year for three?
Yeah, I would, especially when I blew $30 million on Billy Butler, who gave me nothing.
You are really, you can't let that go.
No, because I saw Billy Butler in the World Series. He was garbage. Couldn't run, couldn't move, and like he's just, he was so weak. And
bad body guy.
Yeah, which is fine. You could be a, like, Pablo's a bad body guy, but
yes,
like,
the body.
You know, at least he runs like a rhino. Like, Billy Butler, the only thing he runs to is the breakfast line. You know, it's like, give me a break. And the thing is, like, I can remember a handful of free agents that have been signed by the A's. Cespedes, for example, blew me away when they first got him. And then you give Big, what is it, Big Country, Big Breakfast, whatever the heck his name was.
Country Breakfast?
Yeah, whatever. Billy Butler. You give him $30 million? It just seemed ridiculous, especially given at the exact same time you were like, oh, can't afford Donaldson.
Right. What was weird about that signing is it seemed to run counter to everything else that the franchise had done that offseason. So, yeah, that was weird. That's in the rearview mirror now. We don't have to talk about Billy Butler anymore. I wish you'd stop bringing him up.
Well, I was using him as a frame of reference for spending. I would give him about $14, $15 million. And I think you overpay him to stay here to prove to your fans, like, hey, we're going to try everything we can to retain certain guys. This guy fits this area. And his value here is, I think, more than anywhere else.
And he loves it here. And he's really embraced the sort of A's attitude thing.
For sure. And he looks good in the uniform.
Everybody looks good in Kelly Green.
But he does with the hair and the socks. Like, he got the flair going.
I got to say, if we're going to get into the aesthetics of Chris Davis, I like it when he blows the hair out. I mean, braids are cool. I understand it's probably a pain to have the fro with the hats, but look sharp.
Oh, he looks saucy.
A good look.
Coco
good look.
Did that first. That was when Coco rocked that. Well, I know it was done years back, but Coco had that thing rocking, dude. Rocking.
Yeah, no, the Coco fro was money. Coco Crisp did a lot for this franchise.
Oh, he was really good.
I mean, there's no reason to go too deep on it, but just from the Bernie lean to the fro, just like energizing the fan base. Coco did a lot for this A's franchise.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.